everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Tuesday, the 11th of December. That means 2 weeks from today is Christmas. We are live weekdays from noon to one right here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post every day after the show, Monday through Friday, to buckmastershow.com. We post to the tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com, and now we have links, a show link to our program on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. That website's gvnews.com, and we're also I have a link on the homepage of Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. We'll talk today about the upcoming legislative session, Session 2013, from the perspective of an incoming freshman lawmaker. Andrea D'Alessandro is with us, newly elected in District 2. 20 minutes past the hour, he has a big smile on his face, and when it's the market is over 100 points up, of course, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman has a big smile, and he'll have his Tuesday Moneymaker report at 20 past the hour. 30 past the hour, Pima County recorder F. Ann Rodriguez joins us to talk about what went wrong with election 2012 and how to avoid a repeat of this November's slow vote count. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We encourage you to join in the conversation. If you have a question or comment for any of our guests, 790-2040, or you can post a question to the Buckmaster Facebook page. Joining us now from District 2, she is State Representative-elect Andrea D'Alessandro. I'm sure you like the sound of that, don't you, Andrea?
Bill, it sounds very good.
Congratulations, you and Rosanna Gabaldon from Sahuarita. Well, both of you are from Sahuarita, both incoming state representatives. Senator Linda Lopez had no competition, so she will be coming back as the senator in that district. So what, there are about, was it two or three then, all Democratic districts
right. From
down here?
Legislative District 10 and Legislative District 3, in addition to mine, Legislative District 2.
How was your orientation? Did you spend a week up in Phoenix?
Well, Monday to Wednesday, we had bipartisan orientation, going through the rules and getting our seat assignments and parking spots and offices. And on Thursday and Friday, I had Democratic caucus retreat, but it wasn't really a retreat. It was a lot of information, a lot of presentations that will be to help us be ready for January 14th.
What's the tone of the legislature right now, the folks you met?
Well, I'm very encouraged because even before the election, many lobbyists were reaching out to me because they were pretty certain I was going to win, and I've been meeting with people across the line, and I'm very encouraged that there'll be a different tone. Some of the men and women I've met are already approaching me to co-sponsor legislation with them. Many of them are statesmen. Recently, we were up in Chandler for a border seminar sponsored by the fresh produce industry, and a third of the legislature was there interested in promoting cross-border business with Mexico. So I'm finding it very encouraging.
Lobbyists are all over the place, I guess, huh?
Yes, and it's not a four-letter word. Most of them have been very gracious, giving you information, and some things I can go along with and some things I can't, and I've been very lucky to get additional information besides what they provide me with.
Andrea, one of your primary missions and goals will be to serve your constituents in District number 2, and that means constituent services.
Yes. Well, My friend Marion McClure did a great job when she was at the legislature, and I'm going to try to meet her high standard for constituent service. And Frank Antonori was known for always being conversant on all the bills. And quite frankly, last night I was at a Sahuarita Town Council meeting, and even Randy Graff gave me some useful suggestions how to approach constituent services. And I will be doing it both out of the Phoenix office and in the Tucson State Legislative Office.
You're also very active in social media, as am I. On Facebook, I see a lot of your posts. But, you know, it does keep the folks, all the friends, informed of what's going on in your life.
That's
what
very
you're
true.
Doing with your office. Did I read on Facebook you were up with Sandra Day O'Connor at an event?
Yes, last Wednesday, the O'Connor House sponsored a reception for legislators, and I was pleased to have my picture taken with her. And I've pledged for civility to work together and seek common ground to solve problems. In fact, last night I met the new Republican chair for LD2, who is someone I know. He also lives in Quail Creek. And I am proposing a joint LD2 Democratic and Republican meeting for legislative updates.
Well, that's good news. Yeah, I mean, One thing we need is bipartisanship up in Phoenix.
Definitely.
It's just gotten out of hand how partisan things are up at the Capitol. Are you on some legislative committees?
Yes, I've already been assigned to the Government Committee and Reform and Human Services. Human Services will probably be involved with Children's Protective Services and possibly even the Medicaid expansion.
Andrea D'Alessandro is with us. She is the newly elected state representative from District Number 2. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the borders of District 2, it's pretty much Green Valley, Sahuarita, parts of Tucson, right?
Yes. On the north east side, it's Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. So we have the Air Force Base, the airport, the city of South Tucson, and pieces of South Tucson, and all of Santa Cruz County.
Are you going to be pushing for economic development?
Yes, that's my number one priority, especially for Southern Arizona, and to have the training and educational resources that will guarantee that that will happen.
How about the rainy day fund? The sales tax will be expiring, sunsetting, as they say, on the state education. We're going to have a lot less money after that happens.
Well, I have seen some of the numbers. In the long run, I want to expand the rainy day fund because Arizona, since before it was a state, has been a boom and bust economy. However, now our primary approach should be to restore funding to public education and health care.
And how are we going to do that if we don't have the money to do it, to restore funding to education?
You know, Bill, I was a CPA and tax accountant, and I firmly believe that fiscal responsibility is a two-sided equation. We have to be accountable for every taxpayer dollar should be fully accountable. And the other part is it is not a good time to give expansive tax cuts because once we get a tax cut in the state, it'll take two-thirds of the legislature to overrule it, and quite frankly, that will probably never happen. So I would be very, very cautious with future tax cuts. Support public education, K-12, and higher education because they are economic engines and they tell people outside the state and inside the state, they tell businesses that Arizona is ready to move forward.
Sir, you're a certified public accountant?
I'm not certified in Arizona, but that was what my career
was.
But that
was in New York City, right?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
So I was born in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty.
So you really have had a career in looking at numbers.
And between the math and the accounting, yes.
The budget, what does it look like for the state of Arizona?
Well, we're actually, you know, running a little surplus, and we do have a surplus from the current year going to next year and the year after that. But after that, we're in the same place with a structural deficit because of some corporate tax cuts. I've actually asked them for a breakdown of how much of that deficit is due to tax cuts. You know, I'm for tax cuts if we get some bang for our buck. But a lot of these tax cuts are going to out-of-state businesses, and I'm very displeased with that. So we'll be in the same situation again, facing horrible cuts.
But you're not entirely against tax cuts if it's for Arizona business.
Right. I've been talking about the film tax credit to get more movies made here. We have a rich history for a long time of having movies made here.
Yeah, that almost passed.
Yes.
I was very disappointed when that film tax credit did not pass the last session. I thought it was going to pass. I mean, our film industry really needs to be revived.
Without a doubt. They're just flying over us now, and that could be a really good opportunity. But it's not. It has a sunset, the current law, and I'm very encouraged that, you know, good things will happen to Southern Arizona because of if they enact it. And there are people, I understand, who will be reintroducing it.
Andrea D'Alessandro, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck in the upcoming legislative session, which will begin with the State of the State address. That will be coming up on Monday, January the 14th.
That's correct, Bill.
And then you will be sworn in actually shortly before the address, and then we won't have to say representative-elect. But we're doing that at this point, and we want to wish you a great holiday season, Andrea. Thank you.
Thank you. Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1216 on the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. Tuesday at this time means Shelley Fishman. He is in the on-deck circle, ready for his Tuesday Moneymaker Report.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of Leo, our new Landscape Evolution Observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman. And the market's looking pretty good the last couple days.
It really has, Bill. We could possibly be into our 2013 rally.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The pre-rally for 2013.
Yeah, this could actually be the start of where we're headed in 2013.
I was thinking about you as I looked at the front page today of the Wall Street Journal. For many financial advisors, it says stocks become a hard sell, and they profile a financial advisor from my hometown on the North Shore of Chicago, Wellmet, Illinois. And this particular advisor says some of his clients very worried right now.
Well, you know, we've been talking about that for a very long time. In fact, if you take a look at the article, I think it's still posted on my website, I talk about how to deal with clients who are come in with their fears very much in evidence. And this is that kind of thing. You know, stocks have taken a tremendous beating over the years. If you're a baby boomer and you're in your 50s or 60s, you know, you've lived through 1987 where stocks took a 25%.
I remember it well.
In October.
Yeah, October 87. Right. Yep.
25% hit in one day.
Wow.
If you've lived through the crash of 2000, 2001, if you lived through 2008, you know how volatile stocks can be. And this particular advisor has a very famous chart on the wall behind him in his office, which shows that over the long term, stocks outperform most other investments. Well, you know what? That always strikes me as kind of being on your knees on a cake of ice with your head in the oven. On average, you're probably okay. But, you know, given where in your body you're monitoring, you can be in a great deal of pain.
I saw that chart in the picture in the background.
Yeah,
I thought you'd pick up on that.
You know, I just don't use it. And the reason I don't use it is because it doesn't have anything to do with the client. It has to do with a set of statistics that the client may not be able or willing in the moment to deal with. You have to deal with where the client is emotionally and where the client is in terms of their financial objectives. There's also some things in this article that I have some problems with, Bill, just in terms of the trends. You know, that chart up to 2000, on average, stocks did about 12%, about twice as much gain as bonds. However, from 2000 to 2008, just before the crash, stocks were flat.
Yes, they were.
And so if you then go back to 1930, 32, and you take a look at where stock performance has been, that decade during the second Bush administration changed the average from 12% to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, bonds during the aughts, during that first decade of this century, outperformed stocks in many ways. So it has really changed the way I think you have to think about how you advise clients. Now the question is, are we going back to the old normal, or have we entered a new phase where a fixed income and fixed income funds are going to perform as well as stocks? I don't think we're going back to the good old days of the 80s and the 90s or even the 50s or 60s. I do believe, however, that you're going to see over the next couple of years stocks, equities, especially U.S. equities, outperforming United States-based bonds.
Shelley Fishman is with us. This is the Shelley Fishman and the Tuesday Money Maker Report. We're talking about a piece in today's Wall Street Journal that for many financial advisors, stocks become a hard sell. And, you know, you said something about that chart, and this is something we've talked about mm-hmm. almost every week, that the chart on that advisor's wall almost looks like kind of a cookie-cutter approach to a client.
Well, you're absolutely right.
And I think what we have tried to stress on this program is that every individual client has a different mission, objective, and outcome that they perhaps are looking for their life circumstances.
Right. And you know, some people have a tolerance for risk. They have a tolerance for volatility. They have a long-term view of things. I was with a client this morning who is very, very aggressive and very perceptive in terms of looking forward into where the market is going. So for that particular client, that kind of volatility, that chart is probably very meaningful. The client that followed him into my office is a client who says, look, what I'm looking to do is take a certain amount of income out of my retirement account for the rest of my life and have that retirement account remain flat if possible. That's a very different kind of client.
Yes, it is.
And that client does not want to see that chart, just doesn't have any interest in seeing. In fact, if I showed the client that chart, that client would reasonably question my ability to relate to him.
Perfect example of every client's needs are different, and that's why Shelley likes to sit down initially in his first visit with a prospective client and talk about what is it that particular individual is seeking.
Exactly. And then, you know, write that down, share it with the client, and constantly. Yes, you have to remind the client from time to time, but it's more than just reminding the client. It's reinforcing and reconfirming that in fact, hasn't changed. I mean, on any given day, any individual could be optimistic, pessimistic, fearful, or not. And then you see that client a month later, a quarter later, a year later, 2 years later, and things may have changed. So you're always checking in to reconfirm what the current situation is, and then determine whether the current situation is appropriate for a going forward scenario or if the current situation is an anomaly. I mean, it's a very interesting business we're in. Now, you could cookie cutter it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in the long term, you'd probably be right. But you know what they say about the long term.
Caller who did not want to go on the air for Shelley Fishman, can Shelley recommend letters, guidelines, or advisors for the average Joe?
Well, there you go.
I can recommend the advisor part, and the guy is sitting next to me, Shelley Fishman. Books that you like?
You know, I can't recommend any book there for the, and I don't know what the average Joe is because there is no average Joe.
We just said that, yeah, there's no cookie cutter approach.
There are some, you know, programs on television, and most of my colleagues will hate me for saying this, but there's a woman, and her name is escaping me now. She's, you know, very vivacious, and she's all over the place. She's on one of the cable stations.
So you watch some of the cable financial stuff.
And she's very popular, and everybody knows her, and she gives good practical advice, but it's not for the individual.
Shelley Fishman, where can folks get a hold of you?
795-7950 and on
BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link to Shelley. Shelley, have a great rest of the week as you prepare for Christmas.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Amid raucous protests by union members and their supporters, Michigan lawmakers have given final approval to a right-to-work bill that limits the power of unions. It goes to Republican Governor Rick Snyder for his expected signature. Republicans are again demanding that President Obama name specific cuts in government spending that he would be willing to support as part of any compromise aimed at avoiding the fast-approaching fiscal cliff. A federal appeals court has struck down a ban on carrying concealed weapons in Illinois. It's the only state where carrying concealed weapons is entirely illegal. The court's giving state lawmakers 180 days to write a new law legalizing concealed carry. Wall Street, the Dow's up 105 points, the Nasdaq ahead 50. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. You know, Silver's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. It makes a great getaway if you're looking for, you may have a little extra time over the holidays. Be a nice trip, a little road trip over to Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. And there are so many art galleries in Silver City, including the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world right there at Western New Mexico University. We're delighted to have Silver City as a sponsor on the Buckmaster Show, and there's lots of places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn and Pinos Altos Cabins, Manzano's RV Park, and you can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And before we get to F. Ann Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, was trying to remember the lady who is on TV that he watches for that he enjoys for her financial opinions, and it's Susie Orman is the person that Shelley wanted to recommend to our Buckmaster Show listeners. And here she is now, Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez. F. Ann, good to see you.
Likewise, Bill. It's thank you for having me in here.
Everyone wanted to blame you or somebody else, it seems like, for the slow count. What was the problem this election?
Well, I think that, you know, people have to remember that this is not the first time that I've actually conducted a presidential election, but this is new for the first presidential election to actually have the permanent early voting list in operation. And what it is that, and the recorders of the state of Arizona and the elections director have met with Secretary Bennett, and we all have had the same issues across the state. Obviously, Maricopa and Pima County being the largest ones with the biggest population, our numbers are a lot bigger. What the first issue was within the provisional ballot, and that's a check and balance that gives the voters still the right to cast a ballot. For this particular election, we had over 15,000 plus voters who were actually mailed a ballot and decided that they didn't want to vote it and wanted to go to their regular polling location and vote a traditional ballot. Well, what happens in that situation is the poll workers roster is listed there that this voter has been issued an early ballot, so they have to vote a provisional ballot because the poll worker has no idea if the voter have already mailed it in and was it submitted for counting. So that's part of the checks and balance. That was the biggest bulk of it. for this particular
15,400 voters did that.
Yes,
which
that's
is 55% of all provisional ballots counted. So right away, you got a backlog going on.
True. You know, we also, I don't want to make light of it. There was also some issues that my office did in the signature rosters where we had the alpha sort problem and not updating, moving the voters to the proper polling location. But that was only 5% of the issues for provisional ballots being sent. In truth of the matter is that there were 4,900, almost 5,000 people did not bother to update their address with our office. So we have to send them to the new polling location. You know, and people say, well, why don't you just send them back to their old polling location where they're listed on their signature rosters? But that's not fair because the law says clearly that you should only be voting for those candidates who will represent you. And sometimes these people have moved over 2 years ago and they just haven't bothered to update their address with us. You know, granted, the proposition is the president and U.S. Senate, but if you move from the east side or the west side of the valley, you've changed congressional districts, you've changed legislative, you changed whether you live in the city or not in the city. So there's multiple components involved in that area.
Let me ask you, how many people got a early ballot that just didn't bother to send it in or go to a polling place? How many decided not to vote?
Not to vote. That's a staggering number. That's
Tell
over 42,000.
Unbelievable. 42,000 voters just decided not to
participate at all. They didn't bother to vote it and send it back in. They didn't show up at their polling location and vote a provisional. That's a staggering number that these citizens in our community alone, that's not counting how many the numbers are throughout the entire state, that actually signed up. Some of them claim that they don't remember signing up to receive an early ballot on when they registered to vote on Service Arizona. So that's a staggering number that got a ballot and didn't bother to do anything with it.
Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez is with us. She is working on legislation. She spent some time up in Phoenix meeting with all of the county recorders, her counterparts from the 14 other counties. And what are you thinking about now as far as legislation for the future here? So we can maybe not have as many of these problems.
Well, one of the things, and the recorders took all my recommendations. I had been soliciting so that they could stop to think about it. I worked, obviously, very closely with Maricopa County Recorder, who happens to be a registered Republican, and I happen to be the registered Democrat. But we're the two lead county recorders in the state of Arizona. And she concurred with some of our plans. Is there are short-term fix and there's a long-term fix.
What's the short-term fix?
The short-term fix and the easiest is that we've asked the Secretary of State to work with Motor Vehicle Division, which is the Service Arizona, to clean up the language on the website and make it absolutely clear that the voter understands what they're signing up for. For example, just don't say have a little box saying permanent early voting list, saying if you mark this box, you will always receive an early ballot for an election and cannot go to your polling location.
There you go.
Make it very direct, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though if they show up at the polling location, they'll be issued a provisional ballot.
Right.
And then the other box saying, by marking this box, means that you want to go to the polling location and vote at the polls on election day. So we have a very clear message to the voters what they're standing.
That could be done right away.
That's an easy fix. We also have it on our voter form, and that's the long-term fix, is that the voters said they didn't understand what they were signing up for. Some of the people have claimed that when they were doing voter registration drives, the person that was doing the voter registration drive marked that box. We do have some confirmation from people that the special interest groups that were doing the voter registration drives saying that they just marked all that box so people would get the permit early. And then some of the other things is that the political parties and candidates solicit targeted mail for people to stand up or request an early ballot. And all they have to do is put the words permanent early voting on it, and we have to make it on there. What I would suggest that we want to make clear language that has to be on that request so the voter clearly understands what they're signing And if they don't do it, then the recorder, when we receive it, will issue a ballot for that election, but we won't put them on the permanent early voting list. So we're already, our lobbyists are already in negotiations with the legislature. I heard Andrea D'Alessandro before, and she's on government, but our bills go through judiciary. Mm-hmm. Some of the times they go through government. It just depends on what leadership does. But those are some of the longer term fix that we need to do. And then the other thing is that, you know, we already know I have 15,000 some voters that showed up on election day and became a provisional. I'm going to reach out to those voters and see how we can remove them from the permanent early voting list. So there's multiple things, you know, that we need to do.
How about the overall turnout for this election? How did it compare with other presidential elections?
Well, it wasn't as high as the last presidential. I'm always trying to beat out Yavapai County because they have an 80% turnout. You know, it wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't bad. We beat a lot of other counties that had a poor rating. But, you know, 255,000 voters, Bill, who got it right. They mailed in their early ballot. They followed the process. They want to continue in that way. So we want to make sure that we don't do any kind of legislative changes that harms those voters, you know. Mm-hmm. We also had 100,000 voters that went to their correct polling location, you know, that knows what they're doing, you know. So we're talking about a small group of voters in the overall big picture that we need to work with and educate more as to the process and the procedures of what we're doing here.
Yeah, it was that small group really slowed things down. FN Rodriguez, thanks a lot, and keep us posted on what's going on, okay?
Thank you, Bill. I'll be back to educate the voters
Thank
again.
Thank you very much. Coming up on 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show, it's the Tuesday edition. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, What does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Scientists have confirmed a vast amount of ice at the North Pole on Mercury, the closest planet to the Sun. The findings are from NASA's Mercury Orbiting Probe, MESSENGER, and the subject of 3 scientific papers released recently by the journal Science. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. He is CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating its 40th year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. PSI scientists involved in numerous NASA and international missions, the study of Mars, other planets, the moon, asteroids, comets, you name it, Mark Sykes. And your empire continues to expand because there are PSI scientists now based in 18 states, the District of Columbia, where you're in Australia, Canada, Ireland, Latvia?
Yeah, Latvia.
Latvia, Russia, South Africa, Switzerland, and the United Kingdom.
We're taking over the
makes
world.
You, yes, that makes you now eligible for wearing a crown and being the king.
At some point, we're looking for United Nations status. So,
what's the deal here with Mercury? I mean, to the average person who is not involved in all of this, it would seem that Mercury being so close to the Sun would not be very conducive to have ice.
That's right. It's really, I mean, here's a planet where you could melt lead on its equator, you know, at noontime. And yet we're finding ice at the poles. And the reason for that is that Mercury's poles are kind of straight up and down. The axis of the planet is perpendicular to its orbit around the Sun. So there are permanently shaded regions at the poles where it gets very cold because it's dark all the time. And as a consequence, if you get a big cometary impact on there with has a lot of water, then those water molecules migrate up to the poles, and if they find their way into one of these cold traps, they stick and then they accumulate. And so what Mercury Messenger has found, and this is some of our scientists, Bill Feldman, who actually designed and built the instrument that was that did this, is about 639 cubic kilometers of water.
Really? So that's a lot of water.
Yeah, it's more than Lake Tahoe.
So the PSI scientists were involved in this, and is this pretty much the first time that we have found evidence of water on Mercury?
You know, there were some clues that there's something weird going on up there. Radar bounce signals off the surface. Something's very highly reflective. But what it was very uncertain. It could have been sulfur, which we know is there. But this is the first solid evidence that it's actually water.
Tell me a little bit about MESSENGER. It's orbiting Mercury.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's been doing so for how long?
Well, it's been a couple of years now. And it's been kind of a slow process because it comes in a very elliptical orbit and then it brings that orbit down. But it's been making a lot of amazing finds there. You know, Mercury's got a magnetic field like the Earth. It's dipolar, except it's like 500 kilometers shifted north. So imagine Earth's magnetic equator being up around in Central America someplace. You know, it's a lot of weird things.
And it's not bipolar, so it doesn't need any any medication.
Yeah, well you know, I can't answer that one.
You said it's dipolar.
Did I? No, I meant bipolar.
Okay, it is bipolar. Yeah. Okay.
So it does mean need medication.
Okay.
Other
research that has come out recently from your institute, PSI, this was interesting about vast systems of ancient caverns on Mars may have captured enormous floodwaters. I mean, they had some heavy-duty flooding going on at Mars at one time.
Yeah, you look at images of the Martian
monsoon
surface.
And 50 times.
Yes, way beyond that. There's these huge outflow channels that spew out into the northern plains. And the question is where did all that water go? And Alexis Rodriguez, one of our scientists, has found evidence for a possible underground system of caverns into which this water would have flown in that area. So one underground.
It is interesting. We continue to learn so much about Mars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost like every week there's some new information about Mars. But one thing we have not decided on is when humans will be going there.
Well, humans going to Mars is kind of a pricey proposition. I think it would cost something like $1 trillion to send people there. And if it's just going there to, you know, do some performance art like plant a flag or something, the question is whether it's really worth it. Of course, Elon Musk wants to retire there, and that makes sense. It's a one-way trip in that case. But Mars has long held our imagination as a possible future home of humankind. But I would say that we're still at the very beginning of trying to learn enough about that planet to determine whether or not it would be a place for us to eventually live.
One place we have been in outer space, of course, is the moon. And it's interesting that the last lunar trip began recently, about 40 years ago, to the moon. And now there's another company that's come forward and saying, well, we'll sell moon trips. Price tag? $1.5 billion if you'd like to take a trip to.
I'm sure they take Visa.
this is really just the latest in a lot of different organizations that have said that they would be doing some moon trips. Some have come and gone.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Eventually we're going to see tourism to the moon, don't you think?
Well, one would hope. This is a company called Golden Spike, and it's populated by a bunch of former NASA people. The president is Alan Stern, a former associate administrator for space science. And exactly, you know, how this is all going to work, I'm sure will play out. But, you know, I think it's great that we have all these entrepreneurial ventures that people are taking a crack at and seeing if they can make it work. I mean, we've seen some of these commercial rocket companies like SpaceX and Virgin Galactic, be successful in their initiatives, which were kind of poo-pooed at the beginning. And so this is a little more ambitious, perhaps, but it kind of builds on these other successes.
Dr. Mark Sykes is with us. He's CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 40th year here in Tucson. Dr. Sykes serves as NASA's, he's the chair, you're still the chair, right, of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group?
Less than a year to go,
Well,
yes.
Less than a year to go. Well, what did you think about this National Academy of Sciences report saying the nation's space agency, NASA, really has no clear goal or direction for future human exploration? I'm not sure if they're just, this was part of that article about the moon. Mm-hmm. Generally, they're saying that NASA needs to, I guess, put some more direction into human missions.
Well, you know, I would agree that we're kind of spinning our wheels to some extent, and that any mission that has been contemplated in recent times, whether it's going to an asteroid, going to the moon, circumnavigating Mars, is kind of, they're kind of one offs. You know, you do it and then what?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's something I would like to see is to, you think back to the 60s when everybody was so excited by the Apollo program. It wasn't because we were going to go to the moon, plant a flag, and then come back and wonder at what we had done. You know, we thought that was the dawn of the space age, where people like you and I could have a future out in space, and that we would begin colonizing and things like that. So I think that we need to have that kind of a long-term human objective, and that's what's missing from the equation.
For folks who would like more information, and I strongly recommend they do so, about Planetary Science Institute, go to your website
at
psi.edu. I got it right.
Yes, yes.
Mark, have a great holiday season. Thank you very
much.
You
too, Bill.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home. What is it about Culligan? Well, folks, it's simple. It simply tastes better. John C. Scott is on this afternoon, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, as the local talk continues. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a great afternoon and a great day. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.